All right, 2 Peter, look in chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask you'll bless now this Bible study this morning. I pray you'll help us as we look into the book of 2 Peter to take these things, to learn them, to apply them, that we may live closer to you in the days to come. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of 2 Peter, of course, was written by Peter also. So we have 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter is similar to 1 Peter, and that was written to the same people. Matter of fact, look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds in the way of remembrance. So he says, I wrote this second one to you, the second letter written to you. So in other words, it's written to the same people that he wrote 1 Peter to. Now we call these the general epistles. Now the other epistles that were written by Paul, most of them have a church name to them, or a person's name to them that they wrote to. Most of the epistles that Paul wrote were either written to a particular church, or to a particular person. These are called general epistles because they're not really written to a particular church or to a particular person. Now, 1 and 2 Peter, like James, are all general epistles. They're written to the dispersed Jews, basically. We've already seen that in the last couple weeks. So this one was written also to the Jews because it was written to the same people that 1 Peter was written to. But also look back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and notice how it's addressed. It says, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says, I, Peter, am writing this to those who have obtained like precious faith. So he's actually writing it to the Christian Jews, but he's writing it to Christians in general. Basically, he's writing it to anybody who's saved, anybody who has obtained like precious faith. So it's written to the same people as 1 Peter. It's written to the Jews, but it's not written to them as Jews. It's written to them simply as Christians. And so that's what we need to realize is in the general epistles, they're not really written to a particular person or to a particular church. Although this was written primarily to the Jews, we see that Peter was the apostle to the circumcision, or the apostle to the Jews. Yet he's writing to all that are saved, all those with like precious faith. It's also similar to 2 Timothy. Hold your finger in 2 Peter. And look back in 2 Timothy. Let me show you some similarities between 2 Peter and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, of course, was written by Paul. 2 Peter, written by Peter. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and review just very quickly some of the things we studied in 2 Timothy. Look in chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So we see that this book was written, 2 Timothy, was the last letter written under the inspiration of God by Paul. Paul says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course. He says, now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, I'm ready to die. My time of departure is at hand. He knew that any day they would come in to take him and they would put him to death. He knew that it was just any moment that his life was going to come to an end. And so it's kind of really from his heart, the last red letter written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul knows that he's going to die, and he writes this letter of 2 Timothy. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. So Peter also is writing 2 Peter very close to the end of his life. So both of these authors, Peter and Paul, so two of the great apostles, Paul called the apostle to the Gentile, Peter called the apostle to the Jews, to the circumcision. Now we see their last two letters. So the first similarity is this. Both were written when the writers were at the end of their life. Paul wrote 2 Timothy at the end of his life, as he was there in prison, being ready to be put to death. And Peter writes this letter of 2 Peter towards the end of his life also, saying that it'll be shortly and he'll have to put off this tabernacle. But after I'm gone, continue in the truth that you've been taught. In fact, look back in John. Notice he said, even as knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Look back in John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, verse 18, Jesus was talking to Peter. This is where he had said, Simon, feed my sheep. And then he says in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. We have spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So here's what Jesus said to Peter. He said, Peter, here's how you're going to die. This is the death that you're going to die. And then in verse 20, then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And this way went abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus did not unto him, he shall not die, but if that I will tarry that till he come, what is that to thee? So he's saying, here's Peter. Jesus just told Peter, Peter, here's how you're going to die. And Peter saw John over there and said, well, what about John? How's he going to die? And Jesus said to Peter, if he lives until I come back again, what's that to you? You worry about Peter. You do what Peter's supposed to do. And let John worry about what John's supposed to do. By the way, that's good advice to any Christian. A lot of Christians look at somebody else and say, well, how come so-and-so doesn't have to do this? How come God wants me to do it, but so-and-so doesn't have to? Well, if so-and-so doesn't have to, what is that to you? You won't be judged based on how you live your life compared to so-and-so. You'll be judged based upon what God has called you to do. If you are to die, if you're to be a martyr, and somebody else is not to be a martyr, just glory in what you're supposed to do. Be faithful to do what you're supposed to do. If you're to be a preacher of the gospel, and somebody else is not to be, you just preach. God didn't call everybody to be a preacher. Do what God has called you to do. Be faithful to do what you're supposed to do. And that's basically what Jesus was saying to Peter there. So Peter, yeah, you're going to be crucified. But if John doesn't get crucified, what's that to you? By the way, John ended up getting boiled in hot oil and stuck on the Isle of Patmos. But what's that to you, Peter? You just do what you're supposed to do. And so Jesus had already told Peter early in his life, before even Pentecost, before Jesus even left the earth, Jesus had already told Peter, you're going to be martyred. You're going to be put to death. And for me. But just do it. And so Peter had already been told by Jesus by what death he was to die. And he said, even as the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ hath showed me. So the first thing is that both were written at the end of the lives of the authors or the writers. Secondly, both express deep confidence in the Lord. At the end of their lives, it's amazing how their faith has grown to a place of great confidence. Remember how Paul said, I know whom I have believed, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and am persuaded. And so he had great confidence in the Lord. Peter also, in 2 Peter, does the same thing, shows his great trust in the Lord, the great grace in which God has given him to face the death that he's going to die. And so Peter was to die a death of crucifixion. Maybe John wasn't to die that death. John was the only of the apostles, by the way, that didn't die as a martyr. He died a natural death, as natural as you can die, being boiled in oil, I guess. But didn't die as a result of that. Died several years later than that, and God miraculously carried him through that. And so he died a natural death eventually, after the persecution that he went through also. So first of all, they're written at the end of their lives. Secondly, they both express deep confidence in the Lord. Thirdly, back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, one of the main concerns of Timothy, of Paul when writing to Timothy, was this: that there's going to be false teachings that come in. And he was very concerned with this. Now, this was almost 2,000 years ago. And he was saying to him, you be careful about the apostasy that's going to come in, the false teachings that are going to come. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 16, it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. It goes through and describes the type of, says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And describes those that will go into apostasy. Apostasy is those who have known the truth, but yet have rejected the truth. That's apostasy. You can't be an apostate until you've heard the truth. You can't be an apostate. You can be an infidel, but you can't be an apostate until you've sat in a Bible-believing church. And that's what apostate is, one who sat where you sat, but have turned from what we believe. That's an apostate. Those that have sat in a Bible-believing church and have heard the truth and have known the truth, but have turned from the truth. That's the apostate. And that's what he's warning Timothy about. Saying, now watch out for apostasy. There will be those in the church that will turn from the truth. Turn aside from them. Watch out for those who've heard the truth, yet don't live the truth. That's an apostate. Look also in 2 Peter then. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And then it explains the rest of the chapter of those who have denied the truth, apostasy. Chapter 3, verse 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Describes the scoffers. So both of these letters are written to warn of apostasy. They both write and deal with apostasy in the church. Paul writing to 2 Timothy about apostasy, and both mention the last days. 2 Peter writing to the Jews or to Christians in general, warning of apostasy. Here's another similarity now between 2 Peter and 1 Peter. Let me go over 1 Peter very quickly again with you. The key word of 1 Peter was suffering. In 1 Peter, Peter was writing to these dispersed Jews who had gone through persecution, and then he warned them about the persecution that was to come upon them. There was persecution from without. It's amazing how many times we've been over this basic truth right here. And Peter again warns of this. Over and over in the Bible we see being warned of these two basic attacks upon Christianity. There will always be these two attacks. The first attack in 1 Peter is the attack from outside. It's persecution. Remember? The key word is suffering. He says you're going to suffer. And even the suffering you've been through is nothing compared to the suffering you're going to go through. There's going to be persecution. Now, we in this land really don't know anything about that persecution. Truth of the matter is, the persecution does not worry me. You read in the Bible, every time there was persecution, you know what happened? Christianity flourished. Every time. Christianity flourished during persecution. You know why we have so much trouble with true Christianity in the country today? There's no persecution. We don't have any persecution. We think it's persecution when somebody argues with us about how to dress. We think that's being persecuted. You know, and we call that persecute. We're not persecuted today. And so if you're going to stand fast, you're just going to have to do it because you don't have anybody persecuting you to get you to do it. And so that's one of the reasons Christianity is in trouble in the country today. There's no persecution. But he warns against persecution. And he says, you know, just stand fast during this persecution. So the first attack, both of them talking about being attacked. The first one is an attack of persecution, or the attack, an attack from the outside. The second one, 2 Peter now, deals with false teachers, or attacking from the inside. Now this is the greatest danger to Christianity. He warns against persecution, basically to say, just stand fast. Just stay true to the Word of God during persecution. Now, persecution has never hurt Christianity. Persecution has always helped true Christianity. Always has. The greatest danger to Christianity is false teachers. And he says, now watch out for false teachers from within. I've warned you about persecution from without. Now watch out for false teachers from within. It's amazing. I gave a devotion yesterday to the bus workers. One of the amazing things, I was reading Psalms 100. It's basically a Thanksgiving psalm, and I had read it this week. Basically, it's for Thanksgiving. But the last verse of Psalm 100 says, "Thy truth endureth to all generations." I don't know if you probably don't see it as much as I see it. Maybe you see it more. I don't know. But truth is being attacked on every side today. Truth is under attack. The truth of the Word of God and of the Gospel is under attack. It's amazing to me, if you look across the country and if you look across the churches in America, there are so many people that have just missed the truth by maybe that much. They're so close. It's amazing to me how close people can get to the truth and miss it. You take one of the groups called themselves fundamentalists. They miss. Now, you know, you can say they missed by that much. When you miss the blood of Jesus Christ, you miss by a long way. But they're so close on everything else. I mean, they're for soul winning. They may not do it, but they're not attacking soul winning. And they don't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. They believe it was the death of Jesus and the blood had nothing to do with it. But they're so, I mean, if you listen to them, you'd think they were a fundamentalist. You'd think they stood where we stand. They're so close, and that's the danger right there. False teachers, some of them, are so close to the truth of the Word of God, and it's scary. There's a cult. If you listen to this man on the radio, you'd swear he's a fundamentalist. If you didn't know the Bible, you'd say that guy, he's a good speaker, he sounds good, and if you didn't know the Word of God, you'd be led astray by that, because it's so close to the truth, but it takes the truth of the Word of God and twists it. And there's certain truths that are there, and certain truths they'll twist away from the Word of God. Now, if you'll get this warning right here, get this down. This may not scare you, but it scares me to death. Because I want to, 20 years from now, I still want to be in the truth. I don't want to be the neo-evangelicals. Look how close they are. I mean, you can't get any closer to the truth without missing it than the neo-evangelicals. They're about as close as you can get, but they've missed it by that much. That scares me, because I could be there someday, and you could too. And we've seen many of them who had the truth, and they left the truth to go to a pseudo-truth. something that just missed it, just off the mark, just a little bit off the mark. And you get a little bit off this mark right here now, and you'll be way off the mark someday. You know how they quit preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ? They just got a little bit off a few years ago. Got a little bit off on church government. You get off any place in the truth, you got trouble. Got off a little bit on church government. Pretty soon, they're not even preaching the blood of Jesus Christ. Now they're denying the blood of Jesus Christ. And now they even deny soul winning. They call it confrontation evangelism. Jesus just called it getting people saved and people born again. And now they've missed the truth. Now they just got off just a little bit. Now we can see the error now. But 10 years ago, many fundamentalists were being grabbed up by that kind of stuff. The new evangelicals, now basically most Christians can look at them and see that they've missed the mark. But a young Christian sees them and they're caught up in that. And they end up missing the truth by just a little bit. Just a little bit. False teachers. You be careful. There's not a single person here. And that's why it's warned about over and over in the Bible. Peter says to those that he writes to, now I'm going to die. I'm going to pass off the scene. I'm not going to be here to yell and scream about the untruths of the neo-evangelicals. I'm not going to be here to jump up and down about the charismatics. But you stick with the truth that I taught you. You stick with the truth. There's going to be false teachers come in. The charismatics are grabbing up Christians right and left. The charismatics are close. I mean, they talk like we talk in a lot of ways. They are so close to the truth. Yet they've missed it. And you watch out too. You look at that crew over there, and you'll say, they believe just like we believe. No, they don't. You'll say, but they're good Christians too. If they've missed the truth, you look out. Watch out. You'll get caught up in it. And you'll end up missing the truth down the road too. You be careful. The truth is under attack today. There's a lot of people walking around saying we've been born again that have never been born again. There's a lot of folks walking around today saying we're part of, we're saved and we're Christians that don't know the first thing about Bible salvation. They had an experience in their life one day. Their life never changed. All they did is change what they're doing and put the name Christian on it. They took the music they listened to before and put the name Christian on it. They put their activities they were doing before and put the name Christian on it. They took their television programs they were watching before and put the name Christian on it. It's the same filth under a different name. Look out. And that's exactly what Peter... If Peter was preaching this, he'd be standing up there saying, there were false prophets then, and there'll be false teachers among you today. So Peter's saying, watch out. The greatest danger to Christianity is missing the truth. Missing the truth. And if you miss the truth by that much, it's no better than if you missed it by a mile. If you miss the truth, then your life, if you miss the truth, you'll miss God's plan. For eternity, you'll miss everything if you miss the truth of the Word of God. And that's the warning of Peter here. Peter said, now you're going to go through persecution in 1 Peter. But he said, I'm ready to die, and let me just give you this last thing here. When I die, Peter won't be standing here preaching anymore. Peter's going to be dead. He's going to be up in heaven. But you better stick with the truth that Peter preached. He said, I'm going to pass off the scene, and my departure is getting close. It'll be shortly when I leave this tabernacle. But my preaching, the truth, lasts all generation. When I'm 50 years old, there'll still be truth around. Or this preacher is in the truth or not, the truth endureth to all generations. I better make sure I'm in the truth. When you're ready to die, the truth will still be there. God's truth endureth to all generations. It'll last through our generation and the generations to come. What we must do is we better make sure that we're in the truth. In our generation. That's the big thing that we must do. We must make sure that we are in the truth. Look, he said, here's a couple examples of those that will attack from the inside. First of all, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. He says, shall be false teachers among you who privily shall come bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. The first group of false teachers are those that deny. Denying. Or the deniers. They'll hear the Word of God. They'll hear the truth. And it amazes me. Shouldn't amaze me, I guess. I think good night everybody would want to know the truth. Now, I mean, that's just my own personal opinion. I would think everybody would want to know the truth. I don't know why they would want to miss the truth. It doesn't make any sense to me. And they'll take just a certain truths, a few of the certain truths. I mean, they'll talk about reading the Bible. They'll talk about going to church. They'll talk about being born again. But yet they don't have the same being born again that Jesus talks about. It's a being born again that doesn't change their life. It gives them a good feeling, but when the good feeling's gone, then they're in trouble. Well, that's as far as a good feeling will get you. Well, the Word of God will get you farther than that. Psychology will get you until you go nuts, and then you got trouble. It'll try to keep you, it'll keep you going for a while, but when psychology runs out, you're in trouble. Good feelings will get you until the good feeling's gone, but when the good feeling's gone, then you're in trouble. But this book right here will carry you through, and the truth of the Word of God shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. So it's the truth is what we need. And so we need there are those that will deny the truth. They'll say, well, that's your interpretation of the Bible. Well, you can say what you want to say, but it looks to me you can just read it for yourself. The Bible's the Word of God. I don't know how if you're saved, I don't know how you can miss the truth unless you're not reading the Bible. If a person's not reading the Bible, they got a good chance of missing the truth because that all the rest of it sounds good. It sounds good out there, just doesn't go along with this book. Well, sounds good, but it's not Bible. The Bible's the truth. Secondly, in chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this, that there shall be in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. There are false teachers denying the truth. Then there are those that just scoff the truth. They'll just laugh at the truth. They'll laugh at it. Well, the times have changed. This is different. Things are different now. That Bible's old-fashioned. They'll scoff at the truth. Those are two examples of those, the false teachers, those denying the truth, those scoffing at the truth. Here's the key word in the book of 2 Peter. The key word is the word knowledge. It's found, the word knowledge or know or knowing is found 16 times in 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, verse 5, verse 6, verse 8, verse 12, verse 14, verse 20. All find the word knowledge or knowing. Chapter 2, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 3, verse 17, verse 18. The word knowledge is the word, key word of the book of 2 Peter. In 1 Peter, it was suffering, persecution. God says through my grace, Peter says through God's grace, you can make it through this suffering. God's grace is sufficient for you. Just stand in the grace of God. Matter of fact, look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We see the devil is pictured here as a lion. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil in 1 Peter is pictured as a lion who wants to devour you. That's the persecution from without. In 2 Peter, now we see the devil pictured as a deceiver who wants to deceive from within. If the devil can't get you to quit serving God by persecution, the devil will get you to quit serving God by deception. The devil is a deceiver. Don't think the devil is going to come to you with pointed horns and a pitchfork and a pointed tail and a red flannel suit. Say, man, that's the devil, and I'm not going to do what you say. The devil doesn't come to you like that. The devil comes as an angel of light. When he came to Jesus, he used the Bible. You better be careful. The devil is a deceiver. And he'll come to you getting you to do good and miss the truth. He'll get you to do good things and miss the truth. And if he can't get you by persecution, if he can't get you to quit serving God through persecution, he'll try deception. He'll deceive you. And you'll think, the Bible says, they thought they were doing God justice, but they were deceived. Be careful of deception. That ought to be the biggest fear of Christians today. And that's why we ought to spend so much time in this blessed book right here. It's the only weapon to this deception of the devil. The only weapon we've got. Because the devil will come as an angel of light. He'll make everything look good. He'll make good. He can get you doing a lot of good things and keep you out of the will of God. He's a deceiver. Now, I'm talking to Christians that have been down the road a little bit right now. I mean, those that have been through the fire, those that have been down the road a little bit, the devil will come to them and he'll get them off the track, the main track, by keeping them busy doing a lot of good things. Don't miss the truth. That's the main warning of Peter here in 2 Peter. The devil comes as a roaring lion seeking to devour the saints. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, he said, "By Silvanus, and a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand." He told them, when the devil comes as a lion, stand in God's grace. Stand. Be steadfast in the grace of God. And that's what he's saying there. When the devil comes as a lion, stand in God's grace. When the devil comes as a deceiver, the only weapon to fight false teaching and the devil's lies is with the Word of God. And that's why the emphasis is on the word knowledge. Knowing God's Word. Knowing God's Word. That's the only hope for Christianity today, is to know this Bible. If we don't know what God says, the devil can come to us and say, "Yea, hath God said?" And all we have to do is tell the devil, "No, God did not say that. God said this." The devil will come to you and say, "Yea, hath God said?" Isn't that what he said to Eve? He said, "Now, isn't this what God is saying?" He'll get you so messed up, you won't know what God said unless you get in this book right here. You'll know the language, but you won't know the definitions of the language. You'll know being born again. You can talk being born again, but you don't know the definition of being born again. You can talk salvation, but you don't know the definition of salvation. You can talk sanctification, but you don't know the definition of sanctification. You can talk justification, but you don't know the definition of justification. You can talk propitiation, but you don't know the definition of propitiation. You can talk the language, but the definitions are different. We need the truth, the Word of God. Know the Bible. Know the Bible. You know what I want to do as a pastor? I want to teach this blessed book right here. I just want to teach the Bible. I want to get the Bible across. And there are going to be a lot of things in here we're not going to like when we get to it. But bless God, it's there and it's the Bible. I think the greatest shame in America today is Christians don't know what they believe. They don't know. They don't know the Bible. They don't know this book. We better learn this book right here. We better learn the Bible. We better know the Bible. We better know what we believe and why we believe it. We need to get in this book right here. Know the Bible. So, here's the outline then of the book. First of all, fundamental truths in chapter 1. Peter tells the importance of the Bible. For instance, look in verse 17. He says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Here's the story he's talking about. One day Jesus took Peter, James, and John, took them up on a mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration. There upon the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was transfigured, and God in heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Peter, James, and John heard God's voice from heaven. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine standing there and actually hearing God speak from heaven? Wouldn't it be something to be one of those choice three people that actually got to stand there with Jesus, see Him transfigured, and then hear God's voice say from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then he actually got to hear the voice of God. Now here's the amazing thing about it. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now wait a minute. Peter said, "I heard God speak from heaven. I was there. I heard His voice. But I've got something that's more true than hearing God's voice." Where are you going to find something like that? He said, "I got something that's more sure than if you and I were standing there and heard God speak from heaven." We have people say, "Well, if I heard God, I'd do what God said." I got something better than hearing God. I got a more sure word of testimony, of prophecy, than if God spoke from heaven today. That's what Peter said there. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed. So you better listen to this. I got something that's better than hearing God speak from heaven, and you better take heed. Something more sure than hearing God's voice. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know what he said? I got something. If you heard from God, right? If God came to you and said, do this, would you do it? Say, sure I would. If I heard God's voice, I'd do it. Peter says, I got something that's more sure than that. This book right here. The Bible. That's more sure than if right now God in heaven opened up heaven and every one of us sitting here today heard God's voice and told us to do something. We got something that's more sure than that. This book, who holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter, first of all, says, here's the importance of the Bible. It's more important than hearing God's voice. It's more sure than hearing God's voice. The Bible. So he starts out by saying the importance of the Bible, the fundamental truths. Then secondly, in chapter 2, he talks about the false teachers. And here's the sad thing. In verse 2, it says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Doesn't say a few of them are going to follow the false teachers. It says many. By the way, you know, most folks are following false teachers. Most people have missed the truth. Doesn't say there will be a few that will follow the false teachers. It says many. You mark it down. Most people have missed the truth. Bible says, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. And few there be. If you follow the many are following false teachers. The few have the truth, but there still is truth today. In 1989, there is still a group that are following the truth. In America today, there's still a group, and there always will be, because God says, my truth endureth to all generations. In this generation, there is still some that are following the truth. I want to be part of that some. I want to be in the truth. I don't want to have God someday say, boy, you just missed it. You missed it by that much. You were so close. And you missed the truth. Wouldn't that be sad? Yes, so many people are wrapped up in so many good things. And yet, somewhere in their life, can't feel sorry for it, because somewhere in their life they rebelled against God. Somewhere they rebelled. And always, you won't miss the truth. You can't miss the truth. Stay yielding to God. You can't miss it. But if you rebel in any area, you rebel, you'll miss the truth. That's the scary thing of it. We got to make sure we're yielded to the Word of God. Yielded in every area to God. When we rebel, we're in danger of missing the truth. When you miss the truth, you'll end up following a false teacher. And that's scary. And the scary thing is, I've seen so many people do it. So many people I see that are so close to the truth right now. People I know are so close, and that they've missed it. How sad. Yet he says, first of all, the fundamental truth. Secondly, the false teachers. And there are many that will follow them. And thirdly, future things. He said, don't listen to the scoffers. Chapter 3, verse 3. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. There's long-suffering elsewhere, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The scoffers will say, well, Jesus says he's coming back, but I haven't seen him. God is not slack concerning his promises. Well, there are those that say, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell, but I've never seen anybody go to hell. God is not slack concerning his promise. So, well, they say, if you don't live for God, you're going to get chastised, but everything's going okay for me. God is not slack concerning his promise. God will always keep his word. You may not see it today, but he'll keep his word. Always. 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 Because a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. But God will keep His word. You say, well, it's been 2,000 years. Yeah, it's just like a couple days to God. He'll keep His word. Well, it's been 12 months and God hasn't chastised me. That's just like a couple seconds. God will. God will. Well, I'm not saved and I'm not in hell. Things are going good for me. Yeah, but your life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. God will always keep His word. He's not slack concerning His promises. We better realize that God is a holy God, a righteous God, a true God. God will always keep His word. Here's basically the theme of the book then. Another key thought is this word remembrance. Found several times in the book of 2 Peter, remembrance. He's saying, now people, remember. Remember the truth you learned 10 years ago? Still truth today. That's one good thing about truth. Truth doesn't change. Truth is still truth today. The truth that was true 2,000 years ago is still truth today. It hasn't changed. Truth that was truth 200 years ago is still truth today. It hasn't changed. God's truth endureth to all generations. Same truth that was 6,000 years ago is the same truth today. Still same truth. It endureth to all generations. So remember. What do you remember? If it was true 10 years ago, it's still true today. Remember it. If it was true 5 years ago, it's still true today. Remember it. If it was true last year, it's still true today. Remember it. Bring back to remembrance the things you've been taught, the truth of the Word of God. And Peter's concern is that with the false teachers that abound, the Christians will stay with the truth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, be established in the present truth. So I want you to remember. You say you know them, but you need to keep being reminded of them. Remember, remember, remember. And that's the theme of the book. Remember the truth. Remember the truth. I want you to be put in remembrance of these things. Though you already know them, you need to be established in them, in this present truth. And remember, then, the truth of the Word of God. You know what the only weapon we have to attack the devil with? As far as his deceptions, only thing we've got is the Bible. The only thing you got. What the Bible says is true. Use this for your guide in life. Use this. It'll guide you through any problem that'll ever come along. There's an answer for it in the Bible. I didn't say it was going to be easy. You come to the preacher and say, well, what should I do about this problem? I'm not going to give you an easy way out. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. It may hurt. It may cost money. It may cost friends. It may cost time. It may cost your job. But if you'll learn to do what God says, it'll always come out for the better. Do it God's way. Just do it God's way. The Bible is the truth, and that's the only thing we've got to fight the lies of the devil, is the Word of God. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless. Now, this Sunday school lesson today, what an important truth there is found in 2 Peter. Of the many folks that have just missed the truth, help us, I pray, to have a desire in our heart to yield to you that we may never miss the truth of the Word of God. Help us now, I pray, and that's the desire of this church, this pastor, and these people, that we stay in your will and in your truth, established in this present truth. Help us now, we pray.